Are you sick yet, Jay?
No, I managed to avoided the shot show crush.
Did you wear one of those Japanese style face masks?
Face mask. No, I went straight for the plague bird mask and just walked around the whole time. Okay. Ah!
With incense and all that kind of stuff.
Unclean.
Have there been a lot of people who have come down with plague? Because I actually haven't heard.
Yeah, everybody comes back sick from shot.
Yeah,
it's when you have that many people crammed into that small of a space, and everybody's flying in, so everybody's crammed into a metal germ tube.
And it's flu season anyway.
Yes, that's my term for airplanes. Germ tubes. That's
we're heading up to Vermont this weekend, and my mother-in-law said, she's not like I was asking, like, how's your mother-in-law coming? We were talking a couple options of her riding up with us, and she's like, oh, no, she's not going. I'm like, why not? And she's like, oh, there's going to be like so many people there in this flu season. And she's on like a new medication that that makes stuff dodgy. And I'm like, oh, that's actually a legitimate concern.
Yeah, I'd stay home.
Your mom could sometimes be a bit of a worrywart. Not in this instance.
This time, not so much.
Yeah, I don't know what they call it. The number of people catching it is not that different, but it's affecting people a lot worse.
Well, interesting.
So it's not spreading any faster or worse than any others, but when people do get it, it's apparently a lot worse.
And it's actually not spreading more. Cause I thought that they got the vaccine wrong this year.
Oh, they did that too. In fact, I read one article that said that people that had the flu shot seemed to be having worse symptoms than people that didn't get the flu shot.
Don't.
So, yay, the anti-vaxxers are going to jump all over that shit.
Oh, the anti-vaxxers.
Oh, Jenny McCarthy, go back to squirting mustard on your boobs.
Did she squirt mustard on her boobs?
Yes, she did.
Was this for one of her pornographic?
No, it was Playboy. It was like,
yeah.
It was okay. A Playboy spread. That's not pornographic. That's like
no
soft porn.
Is she supposed to be good looking?
At one point she was reasonably so.
Cause I gotta say, like, I mean, like her Playboy spread was like firmly in like my early teenage years, which was like prime candidate for she doesn't even have to be good looking. Just as long as she's not wearing any clothes, it'll do the trick. And yeah, it was just one of those like, oh, this is Jenny McCarthy. Yeah. No, I know her, I guess.
I spackled my ceiling to her.
No, not really. No, like I just don't get her. She's one of those. And I don't even get why I don't get her, because it's not like she's like unattractive, like Penelope Cruz. I don't get her. Like, I think she's like borderline deformed. Like, there's something wrong with her.
So Jessica Parker.
Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker. She's not an attractive woman, but she's not as unattractive as Penelope Cruz. Penelope Cruz just is beat up ugly. I don't get what people see in her.
Now I have to look up Penelope Cruz because I can't. I mean, I know who she is. I just can't picture her.
What, you can't pop in your Blu-ray copy of Blow?
No, I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Yeah,
sorry. I can see two things people like about her right off the bat.
Yeah, well, that's true. But she's not that kind of actress.
I can see.
Like especially from
certain angles, she's attractive, and other angles, like
that is 100% true. If you get her just right, she's real, real cute, and then turn. And especially like, you know, like Blow is the best movie where you'll like get it is like when she's not like dolled up to be super hot the whole time, because, you know, based on a true story of a drug dealer. So yeah, nothing, things aren't going to be good. It's kind of like Michelle Pfeiffer in Scarface, yeah, except for, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer was attractive to begin with, but just as things go on, she starts wearing a little thin. Totally overrated movie, by the way.
Oh, man.
You like Scarface?
You can't. Pacino being,
chewing up scenery. Who wants not to love?
It's like it's like what they tell you when you're studying history. You can't judge a past time based on today's standards.
Yes.
And you can't judge a movie based on today's standards. I mean, you can judge it now, whether you like it or not now, but what you can't, but, you can't say, oh, what were people thinking? That movie was awful.
Right.
When it was immensely popular at the time.
Let me put it this way. I really, really enjoy the original film by Howard Hawks.
Oh, that's just because you're a hipster.
No, it's good. It's good. And the bottom line is that the Howard Hawks film is the exact same story as Scarface, more or less.
Except the Great Gatsby?
No, the Scarface. But the big thing is that the De Palma Scarface is a the De Palma
Hamlet.
Scarface.
Hamlet.
Macbeth.
Oh, Macbeth, yes. It the is other Macbeth. Shakespeare play.
Yeah, Robert Loggia's Duncan. I just had to talk about Robert Loggia because I know Jay loves Robert Loggia as much as I do.
Yeah, Billy.
God, he's a great actor. That orange juice commercial is so good. Some evenings when I've got a few drinks in me, I may watch that just over and over and over again. Robert Loggia Minute Maid orange juice commercial. It's on YouTube. It'll make you happy. Like, not only is the fact that it's a hilarious commercial, but also the fact that Robert Loggia absolutely went, yes, I understand I'm a B-list actor. I've been in a ton of movies, and I'm really kind of known as, oh yeah, that guy with the gravelly voice. I've seen him in...
He's also known as, oh, him!
Exactly.
Like Robert Loggia. And then you look it up, and you're like, oh yeah, him!
Yes. And the bottom line is, like, it won't exist because, unfortunately, Philip Baker Hall has taken way too good care of his body, so he's not as craggy and freaky looking as Robert Loggia. But Philip Baker Hall is another one of those. Is he still alive?
Who, Hall or Loggia?
Loggia's dead.
Yes. He's like, and Robert Loggia looked pretty much the same for about, I don't know, 30 or 40 years.
Really did. Philip Baker Hall is still alive, and he is 86 years old.
Wow. Make it to 86 in Hollywood. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Well, also, to be fair, he made it 86 in Hollywood, and he's, oh, that guy. Like,
yeah. Well, that's probably why.
Half the people listening to this will Google Philip Baker Hall on their phone yep. while listening to this and go, oh, yeah, I saw him in
Yeah, the oh yeah, that guy's and the oh yeah, her.
Yeah.
They always live to a ripe old age and make a surprising amount of money while the mega stars, you know, they're here and gone.
Speaking of Philip Baker Hall's co-star in Magnolia, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, gone.
Gone.
Independence Day. I forgot Robert Loggia was in Independence Day. Wow.
He was the
yep.
He was the Buck Turgeson character. He really was. Yeah. Yeah, I mean it was one of those what the hell was that name? Scott George C. Scott? Is that
yes.
who is Buck Turgeson?
Oh god.
And Doctor Strangelove. See, another great movie that's better than Scarface.
Oh yeah, Doctor Strangelove is fantastic.
And you really don't. I mean, it helps to know, like, to be aware of the Cold War, but no, you really don't need to. Again, Scarface, the De Palma Scarface, is a fairly innovative reimagining of the what was it, 1920s, whatever. Howard Hughes was the executive producer on it. For the Howard Hawks one, it's a re-envisioning of that one where it's Italian mobsters now substituted for Cuban mobsters.
Right.
And but on top of that, De Palma felt like throwing Macbeth in there. It's a straight up allegory to Macbeth. It is like, I was amazed. Like, I actually that was actually what got me, is I watched the De Palma one, like for the first time, where I seriously sat down and watched it. Like, I'd seen it a few times. Like, I'd been on a party or was on a fishing boat. Someone was watching it, and you really can't pay attention because you're working. And I just like watched it and went, Jesus, this is scene for scene Macbeth. And then so I said, but wait a second, it's a remake of an old black and white movie. Was that movie a remake of Macbeth? No, it wasn't, but it's still the same story. I mean, it might have been inspired by Macbeth, but it was not, you know, a straight up remake.
It was actually inspired by the television show Different Strokes.
Jay, go lay down.
I just had to toss that out to see who was listening.
All right, so did any news happen this week?
Oh, there was a speech of some sort.
Yes, there was.
I did not watch it.
I don't watch any of the political speeches, because again, it's super sanitized for your protection. It's cooked up. It's all friendly. It's all pointless. It's a lot of blowing smoke up people's tails. It's all bullshit. So I did not watch it. Unlike members of the left, I did not openly advertise that I was not watching it, which really is showing how adorable they are.
Totes adorbs.
I knew we were going to be talking about it, so I did do a little bit. I didn't watch any of the speech, but I did see some commentary on it, and did not realize that all the Dems refused to stand or clap during any parts of the speech.
Yeah, even the stuff like black unemployment's down, people are making more money, you know, all this great stuff that you would think they'd be happy about, but no.
Well, again,
because it was Trump. Trump as an R. If it was this Trump proves the they would have been ecstatic.
Yeah. And to be fair, the exact other way around. I don't know if the Republicans are quite that petty as the Democrats to not stand, but to be fair, you know, the Patriot Act, best fucking thing ever. Yeah. Obamacare, worst fucking thing ever.
Romney Care, perfectly great.
Romney Care not disqualifying. Obamacare, the worst thing ever, impeachable offense. Oh, where did Obama get the framework for Obamacare? Romney Care.
The galloping Mormon.
Yeah. And so, you know, but again, the partisan politics, partisan obnoxious. The Dems are just that much more tone deaf that, no, we're literally going to be doing the, no, you can't make me.
Nuh-uh. Well, you know, the one thing is, you know, I'll give them this. They know that the GOP is not going to be smart enough to take snippets of them sitting there stone-faced while Trump is praising our troops and put it into a political ad. They know the GOP is too fucking dumb.
Mm-hmm. But if we really want to talk dumb, the big thing is, I had no intention of doing this, but I'd heard enough talk about it. I watched Joe Kennedy the Third speech.
And, oh boy.
And I got to say, again, I don't watch these, like, you know, these political, the stump speeches and the States of the Unions and all of that stuff. Because again, the whole point is just one of those, like, oh yeah, you're playing to a friendly audience. You're going to be talking your whole point. There's no rebuttals. You get to do everything you want. It's all pre-prepared. So you're not having to scramble on your feet at all. So as a general rule, it's just one of those, like, it's just worthless. It's just the, how good of a public speaker are you? Joe Kennedy, who, I mean, let's be honest, when you've got like Bernie Sanders, who's 1,000 years old, Hillary Clinton, who's, you know, only 999 years old, and Elizabeth Warren, who's 998 years old, and John Kerry, who's 1,005 years old, you know, just like you've just got all of these just complete and utter like feckless fossils that you're trying to push as your head of your party. And Joe Biden, who's sitting at the beach eating sand by the fistful. You've got all that. They're just the Democrats. You see it like every 5 seconds. It's the, oh, this is the new great white hope for the Democrat Party.
No,
you know, this, they're going to come up and you saw like, oh, Joe Kennedy III is going to be delivering the speech. And all the talking heads were going just bringing the whole world up to speed on who this lesser known Massachusetts politician is. You know, and for those who don't know, he is the son of, you know, Joe Kennedy Jr., who's Bobby Kennedy's son. And he's what took the congressional seat of Barney Frank, who, to be fair, Barney Frank was, how long was Barney Frank in the House of Representatives?
Forever.
About 70 years, I think.
Yeah, so he was in the House of Representatives forever. If you followed any politician's career, they're in the House of Representatives for one term, maybe two terms, before they move their way up to the Senate or a governorship or an ambassador position or all that. Like the House of Representatives, there's so many goddamn seats. It's only 2 years. It is just a stepping stone for politicians. When somebody
hang out there for a long time, though.
The ones that do are people like Barney Frank. They're in super duper gerrymandered districts.
Yep.
So it's very, very easy for them to acquire and defend that position because let's be honest, like Barney Frank's district was gerrymandered to one, avoid the wealthy conservative communities that are right around Barney Frank's district. There's tons of places where the Boston media, you know, business moguls go to live. And those people are, some of them are super duper liberal, but a lot of them are also conservative, and none of them would put up with Barney Frank. But also the gerrymander is also to steer itself around like black districts, because, hey, guess what? If you're in a majority black district, really a black face is going to have a big draw to it. And so if you're a white person, you get a gerrymandered district. And as a matter of fact, one of our speakers of the House, he almost went to prison for just that. He was gerrymandering his district because his former district was starting to become more and more black. He wasn't worried about a Republican taking his seat. He was worried about a black person taking his seat. And so he was gerrymandering his own district, and the feds found out about it and they put him away.
Well, interestingly enough,
But this guy's in that district, and so, yeah. Go ahead.
If you look at seniority in the House of Representatives, there's a long tail, and then there's a weird non-standard distribution. You have the guy that's been in there longest is Don Young, Republican from Alaska. Since 1973.
Jesus.
Wow. I was literally still shitting.
I don't know how old he is, but if you were old enough to get elected, he is, how old is he?
He's got to be 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
I was born in 79.
He is 84. And The next oldest one is Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin, who's been there since 79.
George Steinbrenner?
Sensenbrenner. then you got a couple of guys, believe it or not, a Republican from New Jersey has been there since 1981.
I bet that's a gerrymandered district.
It probably is. But it's funny because you got 73, 79, and then you jump right to the 80s. So there's the guy that's been there the oldest has been there, what, 6 years longer than anyone else?
But when you look at it, is the Senate 7 years, isn't it?
Six
years? Yeah. So like being a senator, you can understand why like someone like Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi have been sitting in the Senate for so long.
Oh yeah. If you can get a nice safe seat in the Senate, yeah, that's great. You're on the gravy train.
Six years is a nice, comfortable term. And, you know, and it's a position of really good power.
Yep.
So you're not the president or the governor of a state, but hey, guess what? You know, I mean, depending on the state, you know, I'd rather be a senator than like the governor of like Rhode Island.
Or
Alaska. And so you've got a big position of power and it's a long term and it's, you know, and there's relatively few of them. So you stand out like that dude from Alaska. I'd never heard his name before ever in my life. Like, we're not talking like Orrin Hatch.
Yeah, I know. He is the dean of the house, but I think that's just because he's been there longer than anyone else. I don't even know if he's on a committee or anything. So,
but it's one of those like, the House of Representatives, that's like the biggest like shit job on the planet because you're running for a re-election constantly. Like, you've got to restart. Like, you have your victory party, and maybe you can take a week off, and then you got to get right back into getting re-elected because
you're. I don't think, you know, if you can get elected to the House, you're as an incumbent, you can pretty much get reelected if you want to.
Yeah, but it's also because of the size of it, it's also fairly easy to off-seat somebody.
I don't know about that. I know turnover is pretty low.
I guess so, but either way, I would still stand by, like, if you're serving your third term in the House of Representatives, like, you're just smashed right up against the Peter principle. Is you're either in such a gerrymandered district that, like, you know, there's no other hope for you anywhere else. Like, you're the giant panda. You're sitting there in the middle of your bamboo field and say, I hope nobody cuts these bamboo down because I'm going to starve to death.
Right. Actually, this is funny. The most recent election, the retention rate was 97%.
Yep.
The one before were 95%, 90%, 80%. The lowest in a long time was the 2010 election, and it was 85%. And that was the big one where the Democrats lost control. And turnover was only 85%. I mean, it was only 15% turnover. And before that, it was 94. I mean, the next time it was even close to 85 and it was 88 was 92. And that's when, the Democrats, when they had remember when Clinton got elected?
Yeah, 94, the Republican Revolution.
No, I meant 92 was when the Democrats swept in the House.
Oh, yes.
They swept in everywhere, and that was 88%. So the 2010 election, the big Obama rebuttal, was the worst turnover rate since 1970. So, yeah, it's funny. The Senate has higher turnover than the House of Representatives. Believe it or not. The most recent election for the Senate was only a 93% reelection rate, and it was 97% for the House.
Well, again, but when you look at the size of the Senate, that's not that just different a number
percentages don't care about size.
Well, yeah, but they swing a lot harder for various things. Like, somebody retires, that's a much bigger change. Either way, we did all this to talk about Joe Kennedy III.
Yes,
the great white hope for the Democrat Party.
Who?
And number one, his speech. All right. I mean, there was a bunch of stuff. It was just one of those, like, this is a dumb speech and all that. But hey, guess what? I'm not a Democrat. Like, I'm the furthest thing from, I may not be a Republican, but I'm the furthest thing from a Democrat. So yeah, of course his speech was crap to me, but his delivery of the speech, it sounded like that dude in like middle school who like watched like a bunch of like either follows a bunch, you know, was watching like the Kennedy speeches or all that, and was doing like every like doing all the motions that he thought would be, oh, this will make the speech super motivational. This will add gravitas to my voice, and all that. Like it was like.
Also, I heard he drooled too. So.
Well, yes. So he was also drooling, but I'm not, or there was a shiny spot at the corner of his mouth that was kind of weird and conspicuous. I don't care about that shit. That's who knows what it was. For all I know, it could have been the makeup person didn't do a great job on it. And hey, guess what? That's a selling point.
His herpes was showing through the makeup.
It was not a herp. It was not a herp sighting.
I just cannot get over the fact that somebody thought it would be good optics to put a fucking Kennedy in front of a wrecked car.
You know who it was? It was the millennial PA who doesn't even know what the fuck Chappaquiddick was.
Yep.
Well, but
and you know, to say nothing of the fact that Joe Kennedy III lecturing us on how the system is rigged for the top people. Like, are you kidding me? Because, dude, if your last name was Flanagan, you would be a fucking bar back in Southie.
Yep.
Okay? Plain and simple. You would not be a congressman. You would not be on television. Not a single fucking person outside of the South End would know who you were.
And not even then.
Exactly.
And even better was, so Jay points out that his great uncle Teddy drove an Oldsmobile Delta 88, or it might have been a Delmont, but he drove an Oldsmobile off of a bridge with a drunk girl in the back seat who survived the crash and did not drown. And if he had not done what Dick Cheney did, but everyone Dick Cheney fucked up lived, and make it his highest priority to sleep it off so nobody could charge him with drunk driving, she would have lived, because she was found curled up in an air pocket in the back seat of the car. And she died of either asphyxiation when she consumed all the oxygen in the air pocket or exposure from the cold water. If he had called somebody and taken it on the chin like a man, she would have lived. Instead, she died because he's an asshole. But again, the millennial PA just doesn't know because they're unaware. But his fucking cousin, Patrick Kennedy, the senator from Rhode Island.
Patches!
Yes, smashed a Ford Mustang.
A Mustang.
The exact model of the vehicle that was behind him into a Jersey barrier while fucked up on Ambien and God knows what else, because when listing Patches Kennedy's pleasures, it was listed as everything but the third rail. He
did a lot of cocaine.
Yes, yeah, Patrick Kennedy did a lot of cocaine and a lot of drinking and all that, and smashed his Mustang at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And when the Capitol Police came to him, he said, "I'm on my way to the Capitol for a vote. You got to let me go."
Yes. Because, you know, the system is rigged for those at the top. Yes. Like your entire fucking family, Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, talking about the system is rigged and just like the weird false dichotomies of like the like, talking about like, you know, transgendered people and all that is one of those like, okay, I get it. You hate Trump, but it really doesn't help your cause when you're like talking about shit that like is just you invented.
Yeah. He only respects 4 of the 38 genders. You're like, yeah. What? Where is this coming from?
Yeah. And the, well, that's, it reminds me of Miguel from Gun Free Zone has taken to when he sees somebody on Twitter like having a bout of Trump derangement syndrome. He starts talking about like gay reassignment and FEMA concentration camps.
Yes,
because
the Jade Helm of the left.
Exactly. Ugh. But yeah, like I cannot believe, like, A, it was a bad speech. B, it was so poorly delivered, like embarrassingly delivered. Like, how can you be like, okay, I get it. You're a Kennedy. You don't need to be smart. You don't need to have, you know, yes, he went to law school. You don't need to be a lawyer.
You just have to be able to breathe and follow someone around.
Yeah, don't worry. Your great grandfather's rum running money will take care of you. And so, I get that. I understand. It's kind of like okay. I've spoken ill of Chelsea Clinton. She has no marketable skills because she's been raised in a bubble. I don't necessarily hold it against her. Like, she would need to put in some serious effort to behave like a normal human being. But at least when she was stumping for her mom, she could at least deliver a speech convincingly. This dude is like the culmination of all of that, and he can't even talk. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, it just, you can almost read on the teleprompter emphasis here.
Yeah. Yes. Like, things are underlined and bold.
Yeah. Yeah. I could speak regular and in italics.
And then yo habla español. I think that was my favorite part.
Well, I think it was Portuguese actually, because it was in Fall River.
It's in Fall River. It was right by Big Dan's. And, I would like to remind the American people that in the war on women, the Kennedys have 4 confirmed kills.
4?
4.
Marilyn Monroe.
Nope.
Mary Jo Kopechne. Marilyn Monroe
is not a confirmed kill. She's a suspect.
Oh, suspected kill. Okay. So what are the Kennedy confirmed kills, Jay? Mary Jo, of course.
Mary Jo Kopechne. Martha, was it Mobley?
Yep.
And JFK Jr.'s wife and sister-in-law.
Oh.
It's a plane crash.
Still a confirmed kill.
That's true.
Yeah, doesn't change the numbers on the book. It was an unforced error.
What about the one they put in the insane asylum? Does she count?
Oh, they didn't kill her. They just
lobotomized her.
They killed her brain.
They murdered her personality, yeah. But the body still lived. That's not how our murder statutes work.
Yeah.
To be fair, lobotomies were still cutting edge when Rose Kennedy was lobotomized. So
you could say ice picked.
She was ice picked. It was an ice pick lobotomy. But when she was lobotomized, it was still a very, very prestigious procedure. It was not, it definitely, like, shortly thereafter, it started going into the, this is quackery. It's still being done, but it's quackery, to then it's not being done anymore. Okay, but
maybe we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. There's lots of shit like that. Like, I mean, it's one of those, my mom always just talks about, like, you know, one of those things of the, a doctor she used to work with one time said, oh yeah, no, there's going to be a time when we're going to be going, we actually treated cancer with poison.
Yeah.
That's what it was like.
Stupid.
Yeah. There's good, but right now chemotherapy is the absolute fucking best thing, you know, out there. You know, drink the poison. Cause guess what? Drink the poison and you might, and you've got a better chance of living. So I can't knock it right now, but when we figure out something better,
yeah, it's going to look like leeches and bleeding and stuff like
that. Yeah. Drilling holes to let the evil spirits out.
Yep.
Did I mention that I said that to my wife's neurosurgeon?
Well, yeah, because she had a hole drilled.
Yeah. I said, the evil spirits come out at this point? And he was not fucking amused. Like, I just got the really?
You really?
And then he just turned right away from me and started talking to my wife again. Oh man, I thought it was hilarious.
So we have a big something everyone's waiting on with great anticipation. The release of the FBI memo.
Yes.
And it's I don't know what's in the memo. The people that have seen it said it's really bad.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that the FBI's argument against releasing the memo doesn't seem to be based on, oh, it's not true. It's more, it'll make us look bad.
It's a lot like, how did they get the Democrats' emails? It must have been Russia. Instead of saying, no, what they're saying was in the emails is false. Right. It was, well, they must have gotten them through collusion with Russia.
Yeah.
No, nobody ever said, no, this is a crock of shit. They said,
oh, Hillary Clinton really, 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 really loves Catholics.
I mean, I got a feeling it's worse than any of that. But the whole point is, you know, they're talk about not seeing the forest for the trees. You know, if you are in an organization and you are concerned that the truth about your organization getting out would look bad, and thus you need to cover it up, you got a big problem.
Well, even better, if you're in a law enforcement organization and you are trying to cover up the evidence of a cover up,
right?
Yeah, like talking about like good Pacino movies, Serpico.
I don't know. There are people that know what's in it. None of us are them.
But we can speculate.
We can speculate. It's not going to be good. There's, they're talking about the FBI director quitting and apparently Comey's losing his mind over it and, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, a lot of it's spin, a lot of it's positioning, you know, a lot of it, who the hell knows? Because for decades, people that knew what the ATF did were calling for the ATF to be dismantled because they were just beyond redemption. And a lot of people thought that the FBI, we can dismantle the ATF and let the FBI do it. Turns out the FBI is just as bad. So,
well, remember again, in the Waco specifically, funny that you mention it, the FBI was the ones that used incendiary devices and claimed they didn't until the Texas Rangers came forward and said, fuck no, you didn't. You most certainly did. Yeah. And we have evidence thereof.
Yeah.
And it's with the Texas Rangers, and no, you can't have it.
It was an FBI sniper that shot. What's her name?
Ruby
Rich. Yeah.
Judy Weaver.
No.
No, not Judy, but Mrs. Weaver, Mrs. Randy Weaver, and her baby.
Well, she was holding the baby. Mom. The baby didn't get shot. Thankfully, because he jerked the trigger.
Okay, splatter. Vicky.
Vicky Weaver. Yeah. So you know the FBI has a long history. I mean, going back to the beginning. I mean, when they were first started, they were highly they did a really good job of pretending to be non-political while being totally fucking political.
Right.
And they had a lot of help from Hollywood and the movies and the TV shows and all that kind of stuff that were fantastic PR for them. But at the same time, they run crime labs that just basically make shit up.
Well, that was Massachusetts, actually.
Well, the FBI.
No, that was Massachusetts recently.
a lot of the stuff is just pure bullshit. And, you know, they hide evidence. They make shit up. They lie. They, you know, every terrorist caught in the U.S. has been an entrapment job. I mean, they create the terrorists so they can catch them. You know, I mean, I don't know. Do we need the FBI anymore?
Honestly speaking, I mean, when you think about the creation of the FBI, the big issue was that, you know, like, I mean, you had the Depression era gangsters were robbing banks and post offices and things like that, and then making a quick dash for the border.
Right.
And when they crossed the border, the local, you know, constabulary, whatever, be it the sheriff's department or the city police or all that, they were chasing them, suddenly had to break off the chase because they had no jurisdiction across the state lines.
Right.
Well, all we need is like essentially a reciprocity sort of agreement, is that, you know, that local police have their, you know, have the overall jurisdiction of stuff that's going on. But if the police are chasing somebody and they cross a state border, they don't need to break off the chase.
Well, that happens within a state. And, I mean, if a city cop's chasing somebody fleeing, they don't stop at the city line and go, "Oh, whoops."
Yep. And then you just need extradition and that sort of stuff. And then a simple little line item of the, you know, all right, guess what? You're, you know, the town police are in charge of enforcing the federal laws for if someone robs the post office.
Well, also, you know, you got to remember, like in, you know, county sheriffs are an elected position. The chief law enforcement officer of the county is elected position. The FBI is not elected. Mm-hmm. Attorney general. Every attorney general of every county, state, and, you know, is elected. Mm-hmm. So,
and even like the chief of a city police, I mean, they're a political animal. There's a degree of protection,
right?
But if there's a corrupt FBI agent, like, it's, I mean, we just had what's his face? Shoot, who's the acting director?
McCabe.
Yeah. McCabe. McCabe just got frog marched out of there.
Right.
And he got frog marched out of there, but he's going to be essentially frog marched out to an early retirement, an early and slightly more disgraceful retirement. But again, it's kind of like being on like the paid leave for, for a pending investigation.
Yeah.
It's not exactly a vacation, but it's vaguely like a vacation. The same idea is one of those, like, it's a disgraceful retirement, but guess what? He's still going to be sitting at his home, not going to work on Monday morning and cashing checks that are almost as big.
It sucks. McCabe apparently has been with the FBI like his entire working life. That's all he's done.
So he's never had a real job, is what you're saying.
Right.
He's never going to need to.
Yeah, he's 50.
Good God.
And he's got a pension, and we're going to be paying it till he dies.
That's right.
And it's probably more than any of us make.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Because he probably, you know, the top 3 years, which he was assistant director.
Yep.
I'm sure.
That's what they base it on.
Yeah. And, you know, full medical and dental and, you know, all that other fun stuff.
Yep. I wonder how much. Oh, $1.8 million.
Holy
shit. The lifetime value of McCabe's pension. They're saying he's making $157,800. For his average highest salary, which is what they base it on, and he gets a percentage of that. So
crumbs,
crumbs. Yeah. To be fair, you know, I mean, to Pelosi, that is crumbs. You know, because she keeps steering multi-million-dollar contracts to her husband's company.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think that's hilarious. How out of touch do you have to be to tell somebody that $1,000 bonus is just crumbs? It's just a pittance. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, most people, $1,000 is serious money.
No shit. You know, you want real money. You want real money. You have to, you know, have a fake no bid so your husband's company gets all of the federal contracts.
Yeah. $1,000. That was her lunch yesterday.
Yeah, that was the haircut she got on the tarmac. Oh, yeah. Wait.
That was the handkerchief that Joe Kennedy mopped the drool off his face with.
Yes, but to be fair, there was $1,000 worth of cocaine in that.
Okay, actually, to be fair, what's interesting is, so again, I'm going to mention Boston's Howie Carr, who has written some very scathing books about the Kennedys. So he is no fan of the Kennedys, and he's absolutely no friend of the Kennedys. He was openly saying on his show that, like, Joe the Third is by far the most upstanding Kennedy he's ever met, in the fact that he is not a drunk, he's not a junkie, and he's also not on an idiot. And to be fair, there's some very, very compelling accusations, and I would say evidence that Patrick Kennedy probably had a double-digit IQ due to fetal alcohol. So again, this is not me being crass. I may call John Kerry a retard, or Elizabeth Warren a retard, because they're functionally dumb, but I believe Patrick Kennedy was an unfortunate victim of alcoholism before he was even born.
So he's and an actual retard.
I've heard he's got a double digit IQ, and I have seen absolutely no evidence to refute that. And when you understand that, like, you know, we're talking about, you know, Ted Kennedy's, what was it, his second wife? I forget which one his mom was, but she was a, like, a Ted Kennedy level alcoholic. So
did Kennedy do back his cocktail?
No, not that bad. No, not the martini glass filled with rubbing alcohol, Jay.
So, yeah, interestingly enough, I heard through the grapevine that there has been discussion on having John Kerry run for the Democrats in 2020.
Yes.
Yep. John Kerry.
I mentioned again that, yep, he is old. He's functionally retarded. He may not actually be retarded, but he did get worse grades in Yale than George W. Bush, who's allegedly a dumb dumb, and was in a serious cocaine and alcohol problem when he was in Yale,
and also injects poison into his face.
Yes,
let's not forget that.
To be fair, if my face looked like that, I'd be just injecting lead into it. I mean, there's a reason why they call him Lurch. Like, he is an unfortunate looking man. Hey, John Kerry, why the long face? Sarah Jessica Parker is just looking down her nose at him. Fuck off, horse face, said Sarah Jessica Parker.
Wow.
That's brutal.
But yeah, John Kerry, the man who lost to George W. Bush in 2004.
Yep, George W. Bush, after the world had had four years of him and was sick of him. He is the Democrats' Mitt Romney.
Oh, Hillary thinks she still has a chance too.
I don't even think he's Mitt Romney. To me, he's like George McGovern.
Yeah, that's true. To be fair, Alan, Hillary Clinton also thinks she can fly.
Hillary Clinton thinks Will Buy that she broke her ankle running downstairs in high heels. So,
well, on peyote.
Tripping balls on peyote. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the fact that even got out now, you know, maybe it's psyops. Maybe they're like, you know, I mean, but if you're going to do psyops, make it Michael Dukakis.
John Kerry is such an arrogant and stupid individual that he's absolutely going to float it. And it's one of those. But of course, like Joe Biden, who also thinks he's going to run for president and win and ascend to God Emperor of the United States, is
Dukakis is actually still alive. Good for him.
Yes, he is.
He's 84, so he's younger than Bernie Sanders. So,
hey, well, I have good news.
What's the good news?
They did. There was a survey. They surveyed people about what'd they say? It was a survey about good sex and what age was the
best. We just finished talking about Michael Dukakis, Alan.
And that's what brought it up, because they're saying for women, it's interesting. The survey found that the best age for sex in women was 66.
What?
And for men, it's 64.
What the fuck?
You broke weird.
So apparently it gets better the older you get.
But biology.
What about it, weird?
Well, first up, you're going to try to say that postmenopausal sex for women is better than.
No, these are the women saying it.
Yeah, but it just biologically just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, I don't know.
And again, the proverbial soft inch in the middle is hitting those older gentlemen.
Well, they didn't say how old their partners were. It may be that the 66-year-old women that are having good sex are doing it with younger men. And the 64-year-old men that are doing it with younger women. I mean, who knows? They didn't answer that question, was not answered. But they just said that.
Well, I will just say I hope they're right for my own sake.
Yeah,
because man, I'm fairly satisfied, and if it goes uphill from here, I'll take it.
Well, okay, so there's a caveat.
I'll take
this
it
survey.
Like a man.
The research shows people over 50 and 60 report higher levels of sexual satisfaction than others. It may be just that they're happy to be getting something.
That's true. That's true. Just being able to see a boobie
right.
at that age might be all that they need.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you always hear about how nursing homes are like dens of iniquity.
That's also true. There also might be that of your wife of 53 years has passed away, and now you're cut loose, and you're one of those like, I'm not going to bother tying the knot again. Instead, I'm just going to be,
I'm just going to
put as many notches on the old bedpost that I didn't get done in high school.
Right. Also, anything, you don't have to worry about anybody getting pregnant. Anything you catch probably won't kill you before you die anyway. You know, I mean, there's really nothing, there's no downside, you know, I mean,
yep.
You know, you pump it up and have a go.
So. That was not the way I wanted you to phrase that, Alan.
You know, I bet you Viagra's generic now. So I'm sure as the price of that goes down, we're going to see even more
heart attacks.
Well, I don't know about heart attacks, but definitely, let's say emergency room visits for erections that last longer than 4 hours.
Oh man,
you can't overdose on Viagra, but if you take too much,
you get a stiff neck.
Oh, all right,
I'll be here all week,
myself folks. As rapidly as I can from this fucking subject. Alan, did you read the article I sent you about the Hawaiian guy or gal or whatever?
Yes, they're being remarkably silent on who the hell that is.
Exactly. But they are gone. And part of their being gone is they've done it before.
Yeah, that's the thing that was funny. It's like this, you know, this is not the first fuck up.
So. And all I could think of was your statement of the Hawaii is a den of nepotism.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably somebody's brother or sister. And the fact that we don't even know the gender of the person, like they have not released their name. They have not released what their position was. They have not released. We don't know anything about this person except that they've done it before and they will not be able to do it again, allegedly, because again, it's like a comedian made a joke about the stealth bomber of the, it's a plane you can't see.
Right.
Just call them up and say, we've got 100 of them over your country.
Right.
Surrender now.
Well, but not only was it not the first time, apparently this guy's been a problem for a decade. Then the fact that the guy's been a problem for a decade and they couldn't get him out means that he is some bigwig, some powerful politician.
He's Joe Kennedy the third.
Yeah, I mean the Hawaiian equivalent, whoever that is. Yeah. You know, that's the only way that happens. I mean, you might not be able to fire somebody because of, you know, union rules or, you know, state contract or whatever, but you can sure as shit shuffle them off into the rubber room.
Yeah.
And give them,
you could fuck with them hard enough that they will either choose to be no problem to anybody in any way or go away on their own accord.
Your job is to sit in this table in the cafeteria for 8 hours a day. You know, that kind of thing. The fact that they couldn't even do that tells you a lot.
Oh yeah. Or it just simply says that they just do not give a flying fuck.
Well, there's that.
Like too. Every last one of them is just sitting there with their left thumb in their mouth and their right thumb in their butt. Yeah. And they're just waiting for somebody to yell switch.
You'd probably find out if you went in and investigated, you'd probably find out the whole organization's staffed by double-digit IQ people that are just they were put there as placeholders because nobody thought that position, that job ever mattered, because who the fuck's going to attack the U.S.?
Yeah, until somebody starts playing Street Fighter II button mashing on the computer. Doing things of my daughter playing with my wife's laptop. How in the fuck did you do this to my computer?
Oh yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah,
you did what?
What did you click on? What? And you kept you what?
She got her hands on my tablet once, and a screen popped up, and I went, "Jesus, that's a really useful screen. How the fuck did you get that there?"
Yep.
So yeah. Is there something else?
No, and we're about out of time.
Oh, no. One other thing of the what's his face? Was it the flamethrowers? Oh, we did talk about the flamethrowers.
Oh, that's right.
I think that's hysterical. And apparently it's like a weed burner with a plastic, you know, it's a $20 weed burner with like $30 worth of plastic shell, and they're selling it for $500.
Yeah, we're talking about Elon Musk is selling flamethrowers, and evidently selling a lot of flamethrowers.
It is not. I would not call that a flamethrower.
It is not even remotely a flame. It is literally a weed burner.
There is flamin', and it is worfed. So
it's not even worfing it. It's barely worfing it. It's flamin' poofin'.
Flamin' pooping. It's kind of
it's like a really strong fart that you lit on fire.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
It is. By the way, again, I one time there might have been a couple of PBRs involved. Took a blowtorch to the weeds growing out of the sidewalk in front of my house. Really just being I've got a couple of drinks in me and I want to play with fire. And this seems like something I can explain to my wife as being responsible behavior, as opposed to other options I can do with fire. And, remarkably enough, I found that burning weeds between your sidewalk crack, the heat cooks the weeds, but it leaves the roots in there. So it makes it impossible for other weeds to come in. So it actually keeps the area remarkably clean. Like I would do it like twice a year. Once in the mid spring when the weeds start getting thick, and then once again like towards like mid summer, and never again. Like awesome, but I also don't do it with a $500 piece of shtick.
Yeah,
but I mean, again.
To be qualified as a flamethrower, The flame must
be thrown.
Yeah, it must leave the device and then exist independent of the device.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. It's a torch.
Yeah, it's a funky torch. I've seen bigger flames coming out of guys like bagpipes and stuff at the Renaissance Fair.
How do they send fire out of the bagpipes?
Oh yeah, this guy's got like a torch thing rigged up in his bagpipes. It's pretty fucking awesome. Two or three foot tongues of flame come shooting out of it. It's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
And hilariously enough, like hear like a bunch of people talking about like, oh, the reason why it's not a real flamethrower is they're illegal.
No, they're not.
As a matter of fact, you can get a real flamethrower, not a good one, but a legitimate flamethrower for cheaper than this piece of shit.
Yep.
What's that company? Do you know them offhand, Jay?
What the hell is it called? It's like XM15 is
the one that's got the Spitfire face on the side of it.
Wow, and I pulled that right out because I knew that Throw Flame is the company.
Jay literally pulled a flamethrower out of his ass.
Oh, that was college.
Jay is into such things.
Lit a futon on fire once. Just saying.
With a fart?
That must have been some hellacious chili.
Actually, the XL18 flamethrower is $3,200. However, really? It has a range of 110 feet.
See, now that's a flamethrower.
And compatible with napalm.
Awesome.
I'm just saying.
So you can actually load it with...
If you're going to go for a flamethrower, go big.
Jay!
Go big. The XM15 is the little one. That only has a 50-foot range.
Still a flamethrower.
Also compatible with napalm. That one is only $1,600.
Okay, so they're more expensive than Elon Musk's piece of shit.
Yes, they are.
But they are not pieces of shit. They are shitty compared to military grade flamethrowers, right, which are fucking amazing.
50-foot range, 60-second firing time. You think about how awesome it would be if somebody were outside trying to break into your house and you just walked out with a flamethrower. You know, you come out with a shotgun, they're going to leave your house alone. And they're going to go to the next house. You come out with a flamethrower, they're going to leave your whole fucking block alone. They're going to be, I don't care. The crazy dude with the flamethrower lives there.
Think of the balls of the guys that were the flamethrower operators in World War II. All right, we're going to take this pressurized tank of highly flammable shit, and we're going to put it on your back, and we're going to put like this lit flame thing in the front of it, like a pilot light. And you're going to go walking.
Shrapnel, you're going to die a horrible, painful death.
actually, to be fair, Forgotten Weapons did a really good thing on that. Is those the actual like World War II flamethrowers, the really good ones that the U.S. used, actually had like a 5-shot like flare launcher thingy on it. So you would pull. It had like a trigger, and then it had a squeeze grip. You would pull the trigger, and it would ignite the flare. And you would get the flame going, and the flame would self-perpetuate for as long as you'd going. And so you only needed 5 of them because you weren't going to be doing much more than 5 bursts anyway before you were out.
Yeah, but still.
So it didn't have the pilot light like the less disposable flamethrowers are. Either way, yeah, brass ones. But to be fair, if you got to clear out a bunker.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good way to do it.
I'm thinking more if there are spiders.
You don't want to burn the house down, Jay.
That was actually what I was doing for if you've got anthills. My wife got upset because it was staining the patio and she saw that I was having fun and told me I couldn't do that anymore. But yes, squirting WD-40 into an anthill and setting it on fire does amazing work because it just pulls all the oxygen out of the hole. Hmm. There, ant problem solved.
Yeah, but you know what? Pouring molten aluminum in is much more satisfying.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that on my patio because if we get concrete pavers, they'd probably explode.
Yeah, that's true.
But and the molten on that note.
It's time to say goodnight to the internet.
We are done.
Good night, internet.
And we'll be back next week.
Yoo-hoo!
Maybe. We didn't even talk about SHOT Show.
Jay doesn't have the flu.
Actually, I think that may be a conflict of interest. Jay was paid to go to SHOT Show by somebody else, and if he used that knowledge here, that might compromise his.
Would that be a conflict of interest, Jay?
It might be.
Yeah. Actually, let's. I'm going to do one thing. What was Jay Grazio, not Shooting Illustrated, but Jay Grazio's favorite thing at SHOT Show?
You know, I got to say the Tavor TS-12, the IWI TS-12, the Tavor shotgun.
Did you like that?
It's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. 15 plus one rounds.
But did you shoot it?
I had rank pulled on me on shooting that one.
Oh, fuck. See, that's the big thing is I want to know if you actually shot it. Because I know, like, I was super duper duper geeky about bullpups. Because it's one of those like, oh man, it's a super short gun, but it's got all the benefits of a long gun and all that. These are great. These are awesome. And then I shot my first bullpup and I went, geez, these suck.
Didn't you buy a bullpup?
Maybe.
Okay. Sorry. And my bad.
Again, on that note.
Say
goodbye, Jay. Say goodbye, Weird.
Bye. Night.
Good night, internet.
Bye.